Turn to the book of Genesis. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." The end of Revelation. Chapter 21. Verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, like even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Chapter 19, the 7th verse. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." A few verses in Ephesians. Chapter 5. I read from verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. As our brother who spoke previously expressed, I feel myself, I cannot adequately express the thoughts that are passing through my mind in relation to what we have these past few days. Christ in all his various aspects has been brought before us, and we've been enamored by many of the things which gave us to see and to know more of that blessed Holy Person. He has indeed, and I am sure each one in our midst, is filled our hearts with delight. But I feel this, how much am I, how much are you in keeping with that person? I say to myself, I've come very, very far short. Nevertheless, as we read together, not that I wish to go into every detail, I don't. But we find in that fifth chapter of Ephesians, it says there, first of all, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, to think of it, that you and I, and all the Lord's own for whom he died, when we gather together in his presence, we shall be absolutely like him. One feels it, for we're very far short of it down here. But nevertheless, it's God's thought and his purpose that these things should be wrought in us now. We often think, oh, it will be wonderful in that coming day when the Lord comes in the clouds and takes us to be forever with himself. We'll be out of all that is against us. Sin will no longer hamper us. Satan will no longer tempt us and try us. We'll not have the weaknesses of the body. We'll not have the frailties that are ours. We'll be like Christ. I say to you, and I say to my own heart, is it that I want to get out of this in which I am, that I look for the coming of the Lord? I've met it in some dear Christians. No doubt they feel the present circumstances. And they ask, and they say as it were, oh, if I could only get out of it. Is that the reason why you or I want to see the Lord? Or is it he has so got me, he's so gripped my heart, he's so got my affections, that I want to see him and him alone? No one else. No one else. Just that blessed person who in infinite grace he gave himself that the church. I'm not speaking as regards to the Lord, Paul, such as Paul, and who could say, Jesus, he loved me and gave himself for me. No, I take it as his bride. That he loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might present it to himself. Mark it. He's going to take all his own, you and me, and all his own everywhere in this world, those that have passed out and those that will be gathered together at that coming day, he's going to present them to himself. Could there ever be an imperfection in it? In that day, there never will. Present it unto himself. A glorious church. A church marked by glory. That's what it means. Marked by glory. Do you and I fit in that? Are you and I able to say that glory marks me? Doesn't it? Nevertheless, the Lord will have it. And one who shall be like unto himself. Could you ever think of it? The glory of that day will be magnificent. And we shall be in it. We speak of being in the glory in that day. Yes, it's true. We shall be in the glory. But we shall be absolutely suited to that glory. In all its perfection. Could you ever think of the Lord having a bride that had some failure, some fault, some flaw? Never. And that's what he has made us. To be like unto himself. Can you see it then? Not having spot. How many spots? I've often thought. How many spots mark me? How many spots mark you? Well, he'll take them away. There'll be no mark of this earth upon us. There'll be no wrinkles. Could you ever expect in that perfect bride of Christ, as he presents it to himself, there should be any mark of age in it? No, never. What a perfect bride it would be. We often speak in natural things when we see the wedding. The bride is perfect. Well, in the way in which the Lord will have his own, the bride of the coming day, it will be absolutely perfect. There will be no flaw. Or any such thing. Bring it in as you like. There will be no such thing to mark that blessed company, that blessed person, the bride of Christ. But that it should be holy. One feels how unholy we are in ourselves. Unholy. Yes. Defilement marks. Yea, one has to confess, even sinfulness. But oh, in that day, he'll bring you to that day. Will be holy like unto himself. Without blemish. God for that. We see the thing well and it's true. As we look at ourselves down here, we're full of blemishes. That day there will be no blemish. Absolutely like unto himself. Perfect in every way. And how does he do it? That he might sanctify and cleanse it. sanctifying and cleansing. Why did the Lord forgive you your sins when you trusted in him? Was it to get you out of judgment? Was it that you might no longer be charged with being a sinner? Or was it that he wanted you for himself? He began to wash our sins away. He wanted us for himself. There are many things in the world that we pass through. We need cleansing from. And he uses his word in the power of the Spirit of God, affecting our hearts. Those things are brought to our consciences. And we own where sin has come in. We realize that we need cleansing from all the defilement of the way. We had before us Rebecca. She was one who had been brought from a far distant country to be the bride of Isaac. As we might have said, Sarah passed off the sea. But Abraham wants a bride, a wife for his son. And she was brought that long, long journey. How we are as well, in the control and power of the Spirit of God, we travel the journey all the way till we meet the Lord. I say to you, I don't wish to in any way elaborate upon what our dear brother told us, but I just wanted in a way to ask a question. Did Rebecca not put on her best when she realized, I'm going to meet my Lord? I say to you, we have to be wrought upon by the Spirit of God that those characteristics which mark us are to be taken away, that we might be perfect, suitable for that blessed person to whom we shall be, to use the word, married for eternity. It's those things then that have been weighing on my heart. In the affections of our heart, can we respond to it? The more I learn the Lord, the more I get his beauty into my soul, the more I feel want to be like him. These things are wrought in one to be like unto Christ, to be his for eternity. How can I take in anything that belongs to this world? I can't. It's utterly against the whole matter. So we find them, having been brought by the washing of the word, we find there's another thing which marks it, and that is in Revelation 21. We find there it says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the way it should be, would be that city, the holy Jerusalem, not that great city. But that holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It is going to please God in that coming day that the city of God, the city of Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, is going to descend and have its place, perhaps temporarily, upon this earth. One thing that marks it having the glory of God. That which we've come short of, the beginning. That which the Lord Himself fully vindicated, the glory of God in coming into this world. In that blessed person, there was the absolute setting forth of the glory of God, which we as sinners fall short. And yet the grace of God, all the magnitude of it, more than overcomes me. To think that He should take up such poor sinners as you and I, and make us suitable for Himself, and to have the glory of God in us, connected with us. Well, might we be glorious. What a time it will be. The glory of God. He's going to make use of us in that sense. That we, in that coming day, when the earth shall be blessed of God, the new holy Jerusalem shall be that which gives forth blessing to man. And it will be through the bride. Through that blessed person, Himself, being associated with us, He'll bring the bride to be the expression of God's glory in that coming day. And her light was like unto a stone most precious. Even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Remarkable, that. A jasper stone, as far as I know, is of a whitish color. And it is clear. And it's clear as you know, I think sometimes you see in one another, I throw those stones. I think these things are to be met. We're not pure. We're not a Christian in our lives. There is guile seen in us sometimes. And yet the Lord, when He was here, it says in Him was no guile. There's one thing one does not like, and that is to see guile in a person. It's so deceptive, seeking to be what you're not, to give a wrong impression. It might be a good one in doing it. I mean, he's expecting you to give a good one, but it's a wrong impression. We're perfect. We can see right through the jasper stone. See right through it. It's clear as crystal. There's nothing, no false, nothing false, nothing deceptive, nothing that's against it. Nothing. Pure, perfect. And that is what marks the bride of Christ. I wonder if we can say what we get in the 19th verse. It's a day of gladness, and it will be. And we rejoice in it and give honor to God. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And His wife made us up ready. His wife has made us up ready. Can it be then that the Lord in His ways with us, each in our different circumstances, in what we pass through, is he helping us to be ready for that day? Yes, he gives us our sign here. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Fine linen. That perfect cloak. That which was characteristic of the purity of God. It's marked by that. White. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That which is characteristic of Christ is wrought out in us. How we need then to be exercised in all that we pass through, that we might be like Christ. Like Christ, not in the coming day, when he appears and by his resurrection changes our vile bodies and makes it like unto his own body of glory. Not that, though it will be, but now, upon this earth, that we might have the characteristics of Christ, the righteousnesses of the saints, the righteous acts, the motives, what are they? Sir, or what? The righteous acts of God should mark us. And that's what he wants. May God grant that we may, through his grace, be able to have those characteristics even now.